I feel like this is super personal. So thank you for being here. I was kind of hoping it would be a smaller crowd. No, I'm thankful that you're here. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God that knows us intimately. You know what we need. You know what, how to shepherd our hearts perfectly. And so we do pray that you would be magnified this morning, that the ladies wouldn't see me but would hear your word, that you would speak to them personally, and that ultimately you would use us to glorify yourself in our lives. And so we thank you for this morning and each of the ladies here. We do pray if anyone's coming that you would bring them safely, and we thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you've been able to follow along with our studies in the Psalms, I'm sure you'd agree with me that it's been a rich time of filling our hearts and minds with these songs that truly speak to every circumstance of life. I love the Word of God because it's honest. God tells us truth in it and through His Word, and the Psalms are a realistic cry from the hearts of God's people. They can begin with laments, with the psalmist wondering, "Why have you forsaken me, O Lord?" But the psalmist seems to always end, even the laments, recalling the truth of who God is and what He has done for His people. You can study these passages for yourself, seeking to identify the history of the passage so you understand first the original intent, what the timeless meanings are, and then what or how it can be applied to you and me today. And you might know that the Psalms are a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew songs. Unlike other books of the Bible, the Psalms weren't written by one author, but were instead written by different authors. David wrote a vast majority of the Psalms. Moses wrote Psalm 90, that psalm that kicked off our journey to studying through the Psalms. Solomon, David's son, wrote a few. Asaph and Korah wrote a few. And then there are a number of Psalms where the author is not even given to us. Our Psalms this morning, Psalm 121 and Psalm 127, are both part of a group of Psalms called the Songs of Ascent. They've also been called gradual Psalms or pilgrim Psalms. These are 15 Psalms believed to be sung by pilgrims as they journey to Jerusalem for the three major festivals. They were meant to encourage the travelers or pilgrims on their journey. The purpose of these Psalms were to remind them of God's goodness. I checked the geography because I'm like, was it really? And Jerusalem was and is, in fact, nestled up amongst hills and valleys. In fact, 2,500 feet elevation. So anyone journeying to Jerusalem was definitely ascending. And keep in mind, these trips were long and arduous. They're made on foot. There were no cars, no Uber or Lyft, no mass transit. You couldn't hop on a BART, a bus, or a train to get there. So it was a long journey. These Psalms of Ascent were meant to keep those that were taking this journey in a worship mindset, with their thoughts, their hearts, and their eyes pointed heavenward as they made their way to Jerusalem. Now, like the pilgrims of the Old Testament, we're not actually too different from them. You and I are also pilgrims. A lot of times, we also need encouragement and reminders of where we should be fixing our eyes. Ladies, I don't want you ever to forget that this is not your home, and we're simply passing through. We're heaven-bound, and since this is the case, we must have a worship mindset. Our hearts and our minds, and especially our eyes, must be focused heavenward on Christ, which makes Psalm 121 a wonderful psalm to study as we remind ourselves daily who God is, what He does, and how we ought to respond. So let's read Psalm 121. It's right there on your notes. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. We'll be digging into this psalm verse by verse, but first, let's look at the psalm as a whole. I believe it's been written out there, like I mentioned, and Becky helped us practice this during ATS in January, if you were able to join us. And I wanted to look at it again this morning. So what Becky did was remind us, do you see repeated words or words that have similar meaning? In these eight short verses, the Lord is mentioned 9 times. He's either called the Lord or He. So just starting out simply by reading this psalm over and over again and identifying what word or words are repeated the most makes it evident what the psalm is about. And it's not about you or me, actually. It's about the Lord God, right? It's not about us. The psalmist's intent was to turn our thoughts and focus off ourselves and onto the Lord God. Another repeated word is keep or keeper, and you'll also likely notice the word protect and guard, which are all synonyms. And if you look at the original language, they're actually all the same word, right? And they show up 4 times in our short psalm. A keeper is one who keeps. And I know you're not supposed to define a word with a word, but I wanted to just remind us that a keeper guards or protects. And finally, the word help is seen twice in this psalm. And we are defining help as giving assistance or support, providing something needed and necessary to accomplish an end. So all we did was read through the psalm slowly, identify the repeated word, and now we know that this psalm is about the Lord. It goes on to describe the Lord as our keeper and protector, our guardian, and that He is our help. And so when we use the definition that we just identified, Psalm 121 reminds us the Lord, our guardian and protector, is our help. And He provides what we need to accomplish an end. And in our case, as Christian women, He's given up His life for us. He's what we need to live holy, biblical lives until we see Him face to face in eternity. And then this psalm goes on to describe situations where the Lord protects us, right? If you see that. And a time frame for that protection, and we'll talk about that a bit more when we go through it. But I don't know about you, but just considering Psalm 121 in this way, very briefly, right, reminds me that we're never alone. God the Father, who created all things, is watching over you and me. This is who He is and what He does for His people. And because that's the case, I can respond by trusting Him. Which really, when we trust Him that way and entrust ourselves to Him, it's an act of worship, right? I don't need to allow the circumstances that I'm facing today influence my attitude or rule my heart or drive my emotions because I know who my God is. Now, as I was preparing this morning for this lesson, I was talking through it with my husband. We were practicing, we were running through it, and he's like, "What is it that you want the ladies to remember or walk away with?" And rather than hope that you would catch it as I was teaching, I was just gonna tell you so that if there's nothing else you remember this, right? My hope is that you would know without a doubt that you find your help from the Lord, that your help comes from the Lord. And since He is your true and best source of help, that you would desire to know Him more deeply and learn what He has to say about your life. That you would long to know that you and I are called, how you and I are called to live as daughters of the King. And ladies, the best way to know the Lord this way is to study the Bible. So if that's the only thing that you remember this morning, I pray that it is that, that your help is found in the Lord, that you would remember who He is and what He does, and then respond to these truths with a desire to know Him more deeply. And that response would manifest itself in you studying, meditating, and memorizing His word and watch as it produces a heart of worship in your life. So we could just stop there. I would be done. We would break up. But there's more this morning. So we're going to walk through this psalm, breaking it up just a little bit more. Praise God that it's not too long, right? So I'm going to read it one more time. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. So that very first verse, our psalmist is saying, I will lift my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come? The psalmist, I believe, is essentially talking to himself, right? And he's asking, where am I going to find my help? So I'm going to ask you the very question the psalmist is posing to himself in this verse. And if you had an opportunity to look over the homework questions, you might have already considered the question. And that question said, where does your help come from? Or the homework asked it like this, where are we tempted to look for help? Right? It's an interesting thing to consider. Because really, you and I are like the psalmist. We know that our help comes from the Lord. Of course we know. But I want you to pause and really consider this question. Be honest with yourself. Do you, in fact, lift your eyes upward? Perhaps not to the mountains, but are you fixing your eyes heavenward? Or are you looking to the left and the right at your circumstances? Or maybe simply allowing yourself to be driven by your feelings and emotions rather than the surety of the Lord? How do you respond in times of trial, when there's a hiccup in your plans, when things don't go your way? How do you respond? Some of us become faint-hearted or fearful, and we're despairing in the face of challenging times. And I think about Psalm 42. It says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you restless within me? Hope in God. No matter what circumstance you and I find ourselves in, the truth remains unchanging. Our help comes from the Lord. But perhaps you're sitting here thinking, oh, that's easy for you to say, Bernie. Your life is probably great. Your husband's a pastor. Your kids seem like they're doing pretty well. That's all in good when we're talking about spiritual things. You have no idea what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. But the Lord does. And I also know that no matter what you're facing, your help still comes from the Lord. And then you might say, but okay, so let's say I agree with you. My help comes from the Lord. I have a hard time believing it. What do I do then, Bernie? How am I going to change that? And my answer for you is to take your thoughts captive. By God's grace and His Spirit, you must take control of those thoughts, banish the lies that feed your anxiety and worry, and replace it with the truth of who God is and what He does for His people. And this truth is outlined in our psalm this morning, right? When we take captive our thoughts, when we think on what is true, excellent, and of good repute, when we put into practice the things we've learned and heard from His word, the God of peace will be with us and provide a peace that surpasses all understanding. As the psalmist raises his eyes upward, he sees his help. And it's just as it should be with us. But this response will only become a habit if we build that habit moment by moment. And we need to exercise that muscle again and again until it becomes our very first response. The first place you and I go is to the Lord. The first thing we do is to pray and cry out to Him, to sit at His feet, and preach the word into our minds until our heart sings with confidence, as John Piper says, and knows without a doubt that we're loved and cared for. That's how you take your thoughts captive again and again. with the truth of who God is and how he cares for his people. Until, ladies, you keep doing it until your response is worship. And I promise it's not easy, but it's just an exercise that we have to do. And my kids will tell you, there were days when I was just talking to myself, and I likely looked like a crazy lady, but I was trying to tell myself things that I knew to be true because my heart was lying to me, right? My heart was telling me, I need to feel sorry for myself. For example, this morning when I was telling my husband, I'm still coughing, how am I gonna do this? And he's like, where's your help come from? And I said, shut up. No, but, right? Like, we have to tell ourselves truth. And you have to be sober-minded and aware, ladies, about the many conflicting voices speaking into our lives, right, that cause us not to look up for our help. And sometimes they aren't as obvious since they're not overtly sinful. They might not even be bad, right? But these other voices cause us to flounder about, searching in all the wrong places for help. And they might even, again, seem wise in the world's eyes. But you've got to ask yourself, when you hear these other voices, do they point me to my greatest help, the Lord, right? And I love Psalm 20 because it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. And that's what we have to do as Christian women. So as you have these conflicting voices in your mind, ask yourself, ladies, do these voices or does this counsel remind me that my first response is to glorify the Lord? Is it causing me to turn to him first, to cry out to him first, to search his word first, and reminding me that I was meant to glorify him in all I do, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do? Now, I know I shared this when I taught in Mom's Club many, many moons ago, but when my kids were growing up, we had some challenges, including beginning puberty at significantly early ages, right? 8 years old for some of my girls. One of the main concerns was the possibility of a genetic issue affecting all four of them. Now, thankfully, after many tests, MRIs, we learned that they were essentially typical and normal, but their bone scans showed us that they were predicting that they were going to be very, very short. See my girls, they're towering at 5 foot. And since I, myself, am a giant among Filipino women at 5'1", we weren't really concerned, right? We weren't, being short, what's the big deal? But it was funny because they told us TJ, my son, would be only 5'2". And for some reason, when it was our boy, it caused us to pause. I mean, it wouldn't be a problem if he lived in the Philippines, but we live here in the U.S. And the subject matter experts, our pediatrician, the endocrinologist, they all recommended that we would give him steroid and growth hormones. And we were really torn, if I would be perfectly honest with you guys. Like I said, the girls being small, that wasn't a problem. I was like, wear heels all the time. You can wear heels all the time. But with TJ, it felt different. And we were tempted to give the counsel of the world, those other voices, like I mentioned, immediate sway in our decision-making. Thankfully, God, by his grace, allowed us to slow down. We were praying a lot. We cried out to our Savior, begging for wisdom, help, discernment, and he brought help. In his kindness, he answered us, and he gave us people, specific people, that knew exactly what we were talking about, Christian believers that could give us wise counsel and had experience. The help God gave us in the form of people was likely better than any internet research we could have ever done. Right? Just by praying to him and entrusting ourselves to him, we were able to get this information, and we're so thankful. And we decided we weren't going to do anything, and we were just going to entrust him to the Lord. If he was to be smaller in stature than we preferred, then we were going to trust that it was God's will for him and that the Lord knew what's best. And if you know my son, he's actually home for spring break. you will now know that he has surpassed TJ's height, Thomas's height, and is almost, he's 5'9", far beyond the predicted 5'2". Not quite 6 foot, but we'll take it, we'll take it. But I'm so grateful because we cried out to the Lord and he was so faithful to answer. And it wasn't the way we thought. We thought God would just affirm the doctors and we would do what they say. I mean, they were the experts, right? But he provided a help in a different way, in a very different way. After prayer, wisdom, discernment, and direction, he helped us to make that decision. And obviously, it's an isolated, very specific example, but just a reminder that your help, first and foremost, needs to come from the Lord. Now, some of you, when you think about help, you're like, of course, yes, the Lord is my help, but you're more of a fixer, right? What do I mean by that? Well, you know the Lord is your help. You believe it. You'll even say it. But you're all about solving problems. So you want to help the Lord help you, right? Because you know exactly how it should be. You're the problem solver. So you work harder. You do more. You do all the things to achieve your solution. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at our companion psalm, Psalm 127. I want to read verses 1 and 2 to you. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Ladies, don't ever forget that we can do all the things, even good things. But unless the Lord builds the house, it's all in vain. Unless he's the one guarding, it's all in vain. He is the one that is sovereignly ordaining all things. And that last portion of Psalm 127 complements the verses we'll be walking through next in Psalm 121. It says, he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. In other words, God's sovereignly at work. He's got this, right? He's got this. And in response, you and I, we can rest. We can sleep soundly. We don't have to fret. We can trust him. So rest in him, ladies. Rest in him. Yes, work hard, absolutely. I'm not saying just sit and say, well, the Lord's going to take care of me. I don't need to work. That's not what I'm saying. But I think a lot of us, we swing either way, right? We either say, well, I'm going to just trust the Lord. He's going to provide. Or we're like, well, I got to do 8 million things to get to an accomplished goal. So trust the Lord. Entrust yourself and every situation to him. We quickly forget that our help is found first and foremost in the Lord, not in our own strength, not in our own effort, and not in our own will. If you move to verses 2 to 4, the psalmist answers his own question, like I mentioned, and tells us what the Lord does for his people. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, knowing our help is from the Lord is a comfort in and of itself. But it's all the more comforting when we know and understand who this God is that is our help in times of trouble. The end of verse 2 tells us plainly that he, the Lord, made heaven and earth. Now, I imagine that you've read this psalm a million times, and then you've moved on. But I'm going to ask you to stay here and meditate on that truth just for a bit, okay? Consider what the verse is saying. Your help isn't some neighbor next door or even your awesome husband, your loving parents, your faithful friends. And if you have those things in your life, praise God. But in our case, the psalmist is reminding us your help is far more powerful than anyone you can think of. He is the creator God. He made the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Out of nothing, ladies. Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was formless, void, and dark. He merely spoke a word, and there was light. He spoke again, and there was water and an expanse, and then there would be heaven. He spoke again, and suddenly there was light for day and for night. The God that helps you merely speaks things into reality. This is how powerful your God is. And this is where I'm exhorting you to get your help. If you are a believer this morning, this is who helps you every day. Allow this to marinate in your heart. The one who helps you is the Creator God. Verse 3 tells us he'll not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. And again, this is what he does. You can be rest assured that your foot will not slip. And because he says it, and because he's all powerful, you can believe it. As we seek to take captive our thoughts, God's omnipotence is an attribute that should cause us to feel tremendous comfort and relief. The Lord God is omnipotent. And that means that he has unlimited power and authority. He can do anything he pleases. And what he's telling you is that he doesn't want your foot to slip, so it's not going to slip. He has the power to ensure that that's the case. You don't have to doubt. You can believe it. Now, we as imperfect human parents, think about ourselves. We seek to do everything in our power to make sure our kids don't get hurt. We would never knowingly allow them to fall. I mean, when we see our kids falling down, we will run, like faster than we've ever run in our life, or contort our bodies, even though we know we're going to hurt ourselves, right? When I was a nursing mom, I would sit up in my rocker and nurse my babies, TJ especially, and then I would wake up and find him on the floor because he simply rolled out of my arms. At least that's what I told myself. But let's be honest, he probably fell, right? And thankfully he's okay, but it probably explains a lot of stuff. But in contrast, right? Like, so here I am, a human, frail person, right? But in contrast to my feeble attempts, the Lord God has complete authority, right? He has complete authority, complete power. He can make sure that that will not happen, right? You don't need to worry. I love that in January, too, when Tanae taught Psalm 37, verse 24, it says, when he falls, this is us, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. So we might fall, but it's not going to be the same because we know who holds our hand, right? I love how Spurgeon put it. He does not leave his saints to mere delegated agency. He affords personal assistance. Where grace does not keep us from going down, it will save from keeping down. Job had double wealth at last. Joseph reigned over Egypt. Jonah was safely landed. It is not that the saints are strong or wise or meritorious that therefore they rise after every fall, but because God is their helper and therefore none can prevail against them. Ladies, if you've lived any length of time, you know life is hard this side of eternity, right? Life has challenges, trials, difficult times, but we can trust that he will not allow our foot to slip. We have personal assistance from the Creator of the universe. And I love this text in the New Testament, Romans 8:31, that kind of mirrors this idea. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what can be against us? You guys, we don't need to worry. The Lord God has got you, right? You can believe without a doubt that your foot will be steady. And this is truth that you can take your thoughts captive with. The end of verse 3 and on to verse 4 says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we get yet another description of who God is. I'm going to urge you again to consider this slowly and let it sink in, because we would never say this or admit it, but too often we don't fully acknowledge how different God is from us. You know, we think, oh yes, we know he's God, he's different, but it's more than that. He's in like a whole other category. He's other, right? He never gets tired. He doesn't need to rest. Isaiah 40:28 says, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Verse 30 of that same chapter continues saying, even the youth grow tired and weary, and vigorous young men stumble badly. right? Even the young ones, ladies, get tired, but not your almighty creator God. That passage contrasts our frail humanness with God's amazing greatness. The Lord doesn't rest because he doesn't need to rest, and his care for us, it's boundless and never stops, right? You and I can relax. His eyes are always on us, watchful and aware. And then verse 4 says, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And this portion of the psalm likens the Lord's care for the Israelites, his chosen people, to how he cares for us, his people today, which is huge, right? Because you think about the Israelites, if you know their history, despite being God's chosen people, they doubted him, right? They betrayed him, and there were consequences. They grumbled, they complained, but throughout it all, the Lord faithfully kept his end of the bargain to them, right? You can read more about this in the Old Testament, especially in Numbers. There were consequences for their unbelief, but ultimately, again and again, the Lord would care for them and fulfill his promises, just as he said he would. 2 Timothy 2:13 reminds us, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself, right? And thank goodness that's the case. Once we belong to him, when we have been adopted into his family, he is faithful to keep us and hold us fast. We may stumble, but our feet will not slip all the way. We may fall, but we won't fall headlong because the Lord God is the one who holds our hand. Verse 5 through 7 says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And in this portion of verses, we see the theme of this chapter laid out repeatedly. The Lord is our keeper. He will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And again, I know that these are not big, unfamiliar words that we have to look up to understand, but we can easily read through them and pass them. And I really want to encourage you, ladies, especially as you leave here today, to slow down and meditate and allow the words to simmer, right? And allow your heart to really soak it in. The Lord is your keeper. He's your shade on your right hand. He will keep your soul. Again, I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon because he does it so well. He says, the Lord keeps his people as a shepherd keeps his flock. There's a great depth of meaning in that word keep as it is used. For a shepherd keeps the sheep by feeding them, by supplying all their needs, and also by guarding them from all their adversaries. He keeps the flock with vigilance so that it is not diminished either by the ravaging of the wolf or by the straying of the sheep, both by night and by day. Even an ordinary shepherd takes great pains and the utmost care to preserve his sheep. While our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, who was brought again from the dead, uses his omnipotence, his omniscience, and all his divine attributes in the keeping of his sheep. Oh, beloved, if you are indeed his people and the sheep of his pasture, rest assured that he will preserve you. You are in good keeping, for he is the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, and he will perform all the duties of his office well and faithfully, that he may keep securely all whom his Father has committed unto him. Ladies, this is the way our gracious Father cares for us, watching us, keeping us. We will never be snatched out of the Lord's hand when we belong to him. You'll notice also verse 5 and 6 says that the Lord is our shade. Other translations replace shade with shadow. Can you escape your shadow? We can't. Whether we like it or not, our shadows are ever present, right behind us. And so it is with the Lord, ever present, always there. The sun will not smite you by day and the moon by night. That pretty much covers 24 hours of the day, right? It's a reminder that the Lord is watching all the time. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing can come into your life apart from the permissive will of God. Everything is filtered through the hands of our loving Father. There are no chance circumstances or random occurrences in the life of a believer. Nothing happens in a believer's life that is purposeless or coincidence. Everything that comes to pass is all by the kind, merciful, providential will of God. And ladies, I know there are times when we don't fully understand why things are coming about. And we don't know what is happening. But thankfully, you and I can believe and trust what we do know and understand. And that is who God is, good, kind, merciful, and gracious, and what he does, caring, keeping, and protecting us. You can trust that the Creator God will keep you and protect you all the time, right? Verse 7 even says that the Lord will keep your soul. And this is important to consider this side of eternity, right? We're keeping and protecting us doesn't mean that we won't experience hardship, hurts, or health challenges, right? I think of many dear sisters today who are walking through some difficult trials, relationship challenges, wayward children. Some are caring for loved ones, and that's a heavy, heavy obligation. Some of you have health challenges of your own, cancer, chronic illness. There's no shortage of trials. But the end of verse 7 tells us our soul will be kept by the Lord no matter what happens here. Consider Job, right? He faced loss to a degree that seems simply too much. You may lose all of your earthly possessions, like Job, but you will never lose your soul. For Jehovah is the keeper of your soul. When Jesus promised his disciples that not a hair of your head will perish, that's Luke 21:18, he was not promising the preservation of their physical lives, but was promising that they would suffer no eternal loss because God himself keeps the soul of all those who belong to him. And going back again to Romans 8, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that a comfort, ladies? I mean, it is hard this side of eternity, but the Lord will keep your soul. It's yet another reminder that our response to every circumstance would be to fix our eyes heavenward on eternity and with a heart filled with gratitude. All right, thus far we've reminded of who God is, his character, and what he does. Our psalm has reminded us of all these things, that he's the creator God, that he never tires or sleeps, that he's all powerful and has all authority, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but instead keeps us and protects us. How can our response be anything but worship and praise, right? Ask the Lord to help you live in light of this truth. Ask him for the grace to take your thoughts captive and replace them with truth. Truth of his character, truth of his goodness. Ask him for the grace to respond in faith and exercise the muscles that help you to trust him wholly and fully. Ladies, I beg you, believe and walk in obedience to him so that you can fully entrust yourself wholly to him, knowing that your steps will be sure because your all-powerful God will not allow your foot to slip. That final verse in verse 8 is the last verse we're going to cover. It says, "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." It's like a reminder, a reiteration. And I love that the Bible is so real like that. It's like we're going to forget. Even though it's a short verse, it's like we forget the truth, right? The psalmist wants to tell us God is going to be with you when you go out, when you come in, basically all the time. I already said it was by day and by night, but now I'm going to tell you again. It's round-the-clock protection. It's far better than a bodyguard or the Secret Service, right? The Lord's promise is to protect you forever. It never ends, right? The coolest thing is that he is our God, your God and my God, and he will never stop caring for you. And as you study God's character more and more, you learn that he's immutable. And that's just a big word for he never changes. So no matter what happens, this truth will never change. You can count on him. he also cannot lie. Also in God's word, Titus 1:2. So another reason why we can trust in his character. We can cling and hold on to this. So again, slow down when you're alone with the Lord and savor these truths. Think of them again and again until your heart sings, right? So that you might respond to him in worship. Now, Psalm 121 has been one of my go-to psalms for years now, when I need to take my thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. When I have to think right and true thoughts, I'm no different from you, right? We face these situations and we have to preach to ourselves. It's a psalm that comforts me and encourages me and exhorts me as I meditate more and more and reminds me of where my true help comes from. And when I'm thinking rightly, my heart's filled with gratitude. When my Tia was born 4 weeks early, we were very concerned about meconium. Thomas missed the birth since he was in a wedding in Southern California, and it was Psalm 121 that I kept reciting in my mind. When my dad went in for triple bypass, I once again turned to Psalm 121. When my girls began puberty super early, like I mentioned, at 8 years old, and we didn't know what was going on with them, Psalm 121 was my comfort. When the doctors were encouraging us to give our son growth hormones and steroids, because they were convinced he was going to be so small, it was the Lord that comforted me through Psalm 121. When my father-in-law battled cancer the first time, I was repeating Psalm 121 over and over again to myself. When he faced cancer a second time, the reminder that the Creator God was my help was what pulled us through. When my dad was hospitalized in the cardiac ICU for 2 months and on a vent for almost a month, it was the truth of Psalm 121 that encouraged my soul as I begged the Lord to hold me fast, to remind me of truth day in and day out, even when circumstances seem bleak. Now, why do I share all these things with you? It's not so that you can say, wow, all of those things happen. It's because no matter what you face, ladies, no matter what it is, Psalm 121 is for you. God's word is for you, because anything that reminds you of who your God is, what he does, pushes us to response in worship, right? Fills our heart with truth. And it's the framework of how you and I take our thoughts captive. Now, I mentioned earlier that you may be sitting here thinking, that's easy for you to say, Bernie. You have no idea what I'm facing and what the Lord is allowing in my life. And I get it, right? We're human in our flesh. Our natural inclination is to compare, right? Psalm 73 is like that, right? The psalmist was comparing, wondering why all of these unbelievers were getting all these things. But I remembered, and the ladies in my home fellowship group will likely remember this too, Sierra Durkin, and I put the QR code for her story on your notes. 2 years ago, in 2023, she was a young mom of two boys. She got sick from what would normally be remedied with antibiotics, but she ended up on a ventilator in the ICU for 5 months. To save her life, the doctors had to amputate both her arms and both her legs. Both her arms and both her legs. As you can imagine, Sierra was in despair. I wouldn't be surprised, right? I would be far beyond despair. In fact, inwardly, she'll say, when you read the transcript or listen to the message, she felt like she was done. There was no way she would be able to go on. And a sister who brought a meal to her from church, despite how she was doing, you know, brought her a meal and said to her lovingly, "Your job right now is to take your thoughts captive." And so I tell you this morning, no matter what you're facing, ladies, no matter what is going on, no matter how hard it might feel, take your thoughts captive and remember where your help comes from. Take your thoughts captive and remember who your God is and what he does and then respond in worship. As we take our thoughts captive with truth, you and I will remember to set our eyes heavenward to the mountains and remind ourselves where our help comes from. We will answer, just like the psalmist does, that our help is from the Lord. We'll confidently say, "My God is the maker of heaven and earth, and I know he will not allow my foot to slip. The Creator God is my help. He knows me intimately and shepherds me so personally that he will be my shade, like a shadow, all day and all night. Our God, my God, does not need to rest, so he never sleeps or slumbers. Therefore, I can sleep and rest and trust that truth. We don't have to worry. Ladies, your God will keep you, protect you, and guard you from this day forth and forevermore. So entrust yourself wholly to him this morning. He is your help." Let's pray.